this one.
Right there?
Because I have to go to the kitchen early.
Oh, okay. Okay, sure. Okay, sure.
Otherwise,
that's
all we have to say. Okay.
We're dealing with that, too.
Sorry.
But hey, want you to realize that today, something special is going on this afternoon. It has nothing to do with the Minnesota Vikings or the Nebraska Cornhuskers. But there is a hayride out at Jack and Lynn Johnson's, and their place is just a little south of Milford here along Highway 71. If you see a bullhead, I'm not talking about fish, if you see a bullhead that says Johnson Herford's, that's where you take a right, and they're the very first place on the left. And so, so why should you come this afternoon? Good question, Jim. You know, it only happens once every so often that we can do this. And CJ up here is going to be singing. There's going to be some live music out there. He's going to be singing some songs out there. We're going to have roasted hot dogs. We're going to have s'mores out there. And there is a hayride. Is Jack here? Jack is here. Are you, planning on taking us to that special place out there in the pasture?
If you want to.
Oh, man. I think that's worth the trip in itself. And so the hayride is not like on bales or anything like that, right?
No, it's not. We have a
river wagon.
Ricker.
Sit down.
Actually, it comes from Elvis City's Thrasher of Days, one of their real nice cushion seats and everything.
So
hey there, if I put a bale on.
Well, you can tell that we're just an older congregation. You know, the heydays are gone. The kids are there while they've been doing a bale of hay or something.
You're wrong there, the heydays are still coming.
At least. Well, good to see everybody here this morning. I just want you to know that if you came in the front way, you'd see that Elmer is still blossoming out there. And we're just so thankful that Marlene is here too. And I thought Dave and Jan would be here. Dave did get home from the hospital in Sioux Falls on Friday. And I did talk to Jan on Friday, and she said they were going to be here this morning. But that's usually really sick. If they'd sit somewhere else, I'd be really surprised. Yeah, that's good to have everybody here, and that's kind of one of the things that took place this week. And the bulletin you received as you got here today, just want to remind you that on this Tuesday, there's a new women's Bible study that is being started at 9:30 on Tuesday. It's called Awakening to God in Everyday Life. It's a study on the Book of Acts. And it's a six-week course. And all the ladies are invited to be a part of that. And if you can't make it this Tuesday, I'm sure you can follow up Tuesday and be a part of that Bible study too. The reason we put it in about 6 weeks is because you know there's a beginning and an end. It's not like that can last for years. It's just going to be 6 weeks, and then we get a break. And by that time, we'll probably be close to Thanksgiving. So you are invited to be a part of that. And also on Wednesday, there is a women's luncheon at... Is it Hobbies?
Hobbies.
And you've got the address, and hopefully you've got a maps on your phone that will get you to the address where this is at. I know if you go just one block south of the courthouse in Spirit Lake, you hit there's a street light and you take a left. Am I correct? It's kind of there in the corner on the right-hand side. I remember right. That's where you'll find that place. Invite a friend to come with you. And better yet, if you invite a friend, tell them, I'll pay for you. And then they will come, for sure. So keep that in mind. Per request, just be mindful of Donna Osher. She is home. Bruce and Donna are home. She had surgery on her eye. The surgeon said that her optical nerve looks very good. And so they had a doctor's appointment yesterday. But they would just also thank you for the prayers that she's recovering. And new one is, well, this has been around for, I've heard of this a long time ago, with Abby Hoffmeyer. Now, does that sound like a German name? Hoffmeyer, sure does. Anyway, she's got cancer. She's the granddaughter to Don and Kathy Bernays. And so I keep her in your prayers. I just had a little fundraiser for her, I believe, in Estherville, as she deals with treatment for breast cancer. And so keep her in your prayers. And you also see a praise item for Wayne. He's had a kick out of this. Wayne Sunday, he was concerned about getting enrolled in this, what was it, Wayne? Special surgery kind of thing, special program?
Okay, his spokesperson will talk.
Karen, fill us in.
So he says he's not a candidate for open heart surgery. The only way he can get a mitral valve replacement is through a trial, a study. Could be, and they will be able to put his mitral valve in through the less invasive method. They go up through a vein and pop it in. He will be under general anesthesia, but it will be wonderful.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about that. The famous words of Wayne Sunday. I'm not too sure. We'd be praying for you, Wayne, with that. Next Sunday, there is a 6 o'clock here at the church. Those of you that are interested to see the second season of The Chosen, come at 6 o'clock and watch an episode and discuss it afterwards in the fireside room here at the church. You got any questions? See Becky Brook, if you've got any questions on that as well. And then just to let you know that the semi-annual congregational business meeting is the end of the last Sunday of October. And be mindful of that. All the members and friends of Harvard and Joy are welcome to come. And realize that the only way you can vote is if you are a member. That's the only kind of stipulation that is there. But you're more welcome to come and hear what's going on. You can ask questions. There's nothing wrong with that. When it comes time for a vote, only the members can do that. But we sure encourage the friends of Harvard and Joy to come to that meeting as well. And then the ladies have been busy yesterday, no, it was Sunday, Friday. Cheryl Meyer had a real brain idea. And when she has an idea, it's not little, it's big. And when Karen Dockin shows up and he's a part of it, you know that it's really a good idea. So they're going to be meeting out tomorrow. They're doing some school gift bags that they're giving to some staff at the Milford schools, the ones that did not get gifts last year. They're going to be getting a special gift from what the ladies here put together, and they're going to distribute them probably tomorrow, but Tuesday at the very latest. So talk to them as far as what in the world is in this gift bag. And you will be very, very amazed with that. I do like to just mention that Lynn Kelly, thank you so much for playing at the hymn sing this past summer. Last Sunday. And you got other items in your bulletin that you can read. I'd like to have a word of prayer before we turn back over to the praise band. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you because we know that you are God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and there is nothing too big, nothing too small for you. And Lord, oftentimes we get hit with things, or we hear about things, or we're told some things, even from a doctor, that we don't want to hear. But we lean on you today. And we pray for those, Lord, that aren't here today, that we find them in our prayer request list here, is there with them. And may you bring to their hearts and to their minds a peace where they can say, I'm just trusting the Lord in all of this. And He is in control. I know that I am the apple of His eye. I know that He loves me and cares about me. And Lord, that is a good thing to know. So we just pray for these folks, these friends, that are going through a lot of different struggles. And Lord, we uplift to you even Wayne, just with what is ahead of him. None of us really know or understand what that is. But we're thankful that he's got probably one of the best doctors in the world that is speaking to him and talking to him and guided kind of studying all these things. We're thankful for this. So we just pray ahead of time, Lord, too, for all that is going to happen and that will be endured. Lord, we just pray that your protection and your guidance will be with the hands of the surgeons when that time comes, but your presence would also be there with Wayne. Be with those, Lord, in our midst, too, that have lost loved ones this past year. We come to church, get ready for church. Their weeks are different because of one whom they have committed to and have always been around are there with them today. And so, Lord, we are thankful that even in difficult times, people come and their faith holds them and sustains them. And so we pray that for everyone here today, that we have a faith in Jesus Christ that holds us and sustains us in all that we do comes from you. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. really believe in Jesus. It's very important. Very important. We don't come and just do the routine on Sunday. But we come because we want to be here. And that we know that we need Jesus. And we believe in him. We trust him. Just want to remind you that, you know, probably since the 1930s, there's been a real movement to try to tell people that the Bible is not the Word of God. It's been going on for a number of decades, and usually it gets closer to Christmas, it gets closer to Easter. You kind of hear all different kinds of things, you read articles that say that, well, Jesus didn't really live on earth, or that he was married. You get all kinds of things. I just say that to encourage you that don't believe those things. Don't even read them. Because there's a lot out there that just don't want you to believe that there is a God. Sent us his one and only Son and died on the cross for our sins. And that he's the one that gives eternal life. He's able to save us from our sins. Our scripture reading today comes from Psalm 146. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal man who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing.
Blessed is he whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever.
He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry.
The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind.
The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord watches over the alien and sustains.
There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat, but fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in hell, where he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house. For I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." And he said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you give us the truth. And we know, Lord, that there are many today who say that there is no hell. Some say there is no heaven. It's okay to say, well, we just live from day to day and we're on our own, and whatever you make of life, that is what happens and what comes upon you. Lord, those kinds of thoughts and thinking are really off in the left field. We thank you that you are a God who cares about us, and you tell us the dirt and the garbage of people's lives, and you tell us always the promise that you have for those that would just come and follow you. It's always been about faith. And we can't even believe on our own. That's how sinful we are. But by your Holy Spirit, who enlightens us and who gives us the power to believe and have faith, we are humbled by that. So thanks for thinking of everything for us and help us to believe what's in our text here today as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I remind you that this is a parable. This is one of the parables that you will not find in any other gospel writer. Matthew doesn't say anything about it. Mark doesn't say anything about this parable. John doesn't say anything about this parable. Only Luke. And there's a number of parables that Luke uses that none of the other gospel writers use. There's a couple of things with this parable that makes it unique from all the parables. A parable is a story. Jesus talked in stories to convey a truth to the hearers of his time. And he conveys the same truths to us, the hearers today. You are the hearers today of his word. You never find a parable where there is someone named with a proper name, except here. There was a rich man, yeah, but we don't know his name. But he goes on to say that the beggar, his name was Lazarus. Interesting. The only proper name that's ever used in any parable that Jesus used, Jesus talks about him. His Lazarus. It's not the same Lazarus that came back from the dead, that his sisters were Mary and Martha. Lazarus. Another thing that this parable says that no other parable talks about. We never read about someone who has thoughts and emotions and words when they are in a place called hell. And we have that kind of a dialogue going on here in this parable. When it comes to someone who has gone to hell and is talking back and forth, you don't find it any other place. Now, there's teachings about hell, different places in the Bible, and you can go and look at those yourself. We're just going to be concerned about this parable that Jesus is teaching. So we find in this parable there are two men, two places, two speaking, and it's too bad when you don't listen to Moses and the prophets. Because Moses and the prophets, they spoke of the coming Messiah. They spoke of Jesus Christ who would be coming. And who did come. Jesus gives this parable after he tells the Pharisees, and made a note as last week's message, the Pharisees loved what? They loved money. And so it's following this parable with the Pharisees of, you know, they don't, you can't serve two, God and money, you only can serve one or the other. But he knows that the Pharisees love money. And so he gives this parable, and he begins it by saying, there once was a rich man. He always kind of uses something like that, doesn't he? A rich man, but this one, there's a clear contrast between the rich and the beggar. A beggar is someone who doesn't have anything, needs to beg in order to survive. And depends upon the compassion of other people who will see him and walk by him or near him to give him something. Now, keep in mind that the beggar, this one in particular, this Lazarus, it says he was laid by the entrance door of the rich man. Someone had to bring him there every day and drop him off or set him down. And then come back and pick him up at the end of the day and take him wherever let him be. We don't know who they are. We don't know where he went. There's just some of the things that we find in the parable that will help to teach us today to pay attention to what God's word is saying here. If we think of rich men today, we could think of someone like Bill Gates, George Soros, Elon, is that how you say his name?
Yep.
Elon Musk. I mean, it is incredible the number of billionaires that are in this world. You know, it used to be a millionaire was a big thing. Today, that is small chickens. And there's a lot of billionaires in the world today. I just want to let everyone here know today that that we are all rich. All of us who are here today, we're all rich. And some of you are going to be like, what do you mean, Pastor? You don't know me. You don't know how tough it is to live. Well, I say this. If you have a car, a house, you have food in a refrigerator and running water, and more than five changes of clothing, or frozen food in a freezer, you're rich compared to many people in the world. After being at the Next Life Foundation, looking students that attended, and this is in Tanzania, Africa. We in America are rich. How many of you walked to church today or rode a bicycle for hours? I'd say, none of us did. And we do it without even thinking twice. We just get to our vehicle and drive, wherever we want to go. We expect there to be running water. We expect there to be a lunch after church, some coffee. But in a lot of places of the world, they have nothing. They have no clue, no idea what it's like, what we have here every day. How do we know that this man in our parable is rich? Very easy. It says here, the way that he was dressed, and even tells us the color. He was dressed in purple and fine linen. Walmart was not good enough for him. It was special order, tailored kinds of clothing that this guy had. And it says that he lived in luxury every day. So this guy's got it all. He doesn't really think about anybody else. He just thinks about himself. He doesn't care who God is, because he's got everything. He doesn't need God. So let's look at the entrance of his property. That's where we find Lazarus. He's described as not only being a beggar, but he is a man that's got all kinds of sores. It doesn't say what he has, but he's got all kinds of sores that the dogs would come and lick them. You think of his best friends were probably his dogs. Where are those dogs? But the only thing that brought him some kind of comfort was when he came and licked his sores. It doesn't say much about anything else about Lazarus. But in his situation and his circumstances that he finds himself in, Lazarus knew that the best was yet to come. It reminds me of when I was a chaplain here in Iowa, going to see some of the patients. And what a strange thing to learn. I thought everybody liked chaplains. I found out that not everyone did. I went into one lady's room. She's like 96. She doesn't know why she's even there. And she's mad at her children for putting her there. And she's talking to the nurse of the hospice. And I'm kind of standing there waiting until the nurse is done with her. And then she leaves, and then she looks at me and she says, "And what do you want?" And I said, "Well, I'm the chaplain here with hospice." And she goes, "I don't need you." And hit the blankety blank 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 out of here. I'm going like, I haven't heard language like that since I was in the military. And I said, I'm just coming to be your friend. I don't need any friends, especially you. And I'm supposed to spend 10 minutes with this lady. And I'm going like, where's the door? I want to get out of here. But it wasn't just a woman, it was also then a man in a different place. And I had to wake him up. And I hate doing that. You know, I just don't want to be a pain to anyone. But every time I went there, he'd be sleeping in his bed, and I would say his name a little louder and he wouldn't respond. I would go over and touch him, and then he would probably move a little bit. But then there's the other side. There's people you went and visited with that you, they'd love to see you come. They would want to sing a song. They'd want you to pray with them. And we're like, what a difference. Why, I thought they'd all be like that. No. We find that in our parable here with Jesus as well. I don't want anyone to get the wrong impression here to think that because you are wealthy, you are going to go to heaven. Or if you were poor, well, that's a given, you're going to go to heaven right away. I'll get into more of that in just a little bit here. The point that Jesus is making in this parable, it comes down to this. Which one of the two, the rich man or Lazarus, has a faith in God? Who's trusting in the Lord in his life? that he was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died, and all it says is that he was buried. Now you can about imagine the kind of funeral the rich man had. It kind of ranked right up there with Queen Elizabeth. Lots of flowers. Mourners of all kinds. For he probably was somebody special in that community. But he only cared about himself. Because that's what riches does. Makes you just think about you. But both died. But the angels carried Lazarus, who was a beggar, open sores, dogs licked them. He was carried into heaven. What a contrast of a picture. The rich man, for the first time in his life, is shocked to realize that he is suffering and is in hell. He probably never, ever believed there was one. Some people I've heard say is like, well, hell is living on this earth. That's the only hell I know, it's the only hell it'll be. Once we die, it's going to be paradise. Wait a minute. Is that what the Bible says? You don't find that in this parable. The rich man dies. He's shocked to realize a lot of different things are going on with him now. He becomes very rich now in knowledge, but he's a whole lot poorer spiritually. For he knows that he's in agony. He knows that there is heat. Because he even asked Abraham, could you send Lazarus, but just to put his finger in some water, that maybe the water, a drop of water will come onto his tongue and give him some comfort. And Abraham says, nope. Can't happen. We find that this is the first time the rich man is actually praying. He's requesting, he's a petition here. Is there something you can do for me now that I'm in this terrible place? Well, I don't know if you can actually see people in heaven from hell, but that would really make hell worse, wouldn't it? I don't know if people from heaven can look and see people in hell, but that would be heaven. You saw people suffering. But the point that Jesus is making here is immense, and it's very important that you have a faith and a trust in Jesus Christ. You may believe something entirely different than what the Bible says. Go ahead. Go that direction. Come on. I'm going to hold true to what the Bible says. We know that the rich man is experiencing torment. He knew that he was not in heaven. He became richer in knowledge of prayer. But the problem is, too, is that he does not call upon God the Father. He calls upon Abraham. Abraham can do nothing for this guy. Abraham is the father of the Jewish nation, a father of and of a faith, but he cannot save. He did not die for him. And we find for the first time that the rich man now is all of a sudden concerned about his five brothers. Oof. Got any family members that you're concerned about too? I do. And so this rich man who's in hell says, Father Abraham, could you send Lazarus back to my house where I got five brothers, and they will surely repent. They will surely listen to someone who comes back from the dead and warn them about this place where I'm at. And Abraham answers back, nope. Because there's two things. It is impossible to cross from heaven to hell or from hell into heaven. And it would be impossible for your brothers to even believe or repent, because they've already heard Moses and the prophets who talk about Jesus, and they want nothing to do with him. How tragic it has to be when you pray in hell and you know that it's too late to pray. It's too late. Once you're there, you're there. You cannot change places with anybody. There are no second chances at death. What you decide, what you have done with God's word here in this life, will determine where you go in the next life. This faith. Like I was saying before, you can be a very wealthy person, it doesn't guarantee you heaven. Now, there are wealthy people in heaven, and there are poor people who have been poor, didn't have anything on this earth, that are in heaven. But the reason they're there is going to be a reason, because they have a relationship with Jesus. They turn and they look to the Lord, no matter what their circumstances was. And they knew if God had blessed them, they were thankful for his blessing. And they used what he was blessed, how God blessed them, by helping other people along the way. A lot of the time, money just robs us from all kinds of opportunities. And it cannot buy your happiness. And it cannot change anything spiritually, other than to harden your heart against God. So it's always be careful with riches. Be careful with wealth. And you've had the opportunity to hear Moses and the prophets. You know, the opportunity's here. We've got all kinds of churches. You've got a Bible. How many Bibles do you have in your house? How many Christian radio stations can you tune into? How many different articles can you read? If you're on the internet, how many places can you go to that you would get some good reading on what is talked about in the scriptures? So we can't use an excuse like, I never knew, I never heard about this, Lord. And yet there probably still are some that I've never heard, even here in Milford, in the surrounding area. The good news is this. You can repent and ask Jesus Christ into your heart today. Today. You don't have to be worried about falling in with the rich man, ending up in hell, being in torment, thirsty and can never get a drink, can't even have one drop of water on your tongue. And one of the things that oftentimes is never told to people is that hell is a dark place. You think you're going to be there with all your friends, or you've heard that, well, I'm going to go to hell and have a party, and that's a great place to be. How can you party with yourself? dark, you don't see anybody else, but it's a place of torment. A gnashing of teeth. That's how Jesus described it. Jesus talked a lot about what hell was like. More so than heaven. As a warning to us that you don't want to go there. So don't wait for signs. Do not wait for miracles. You have the scriptures. You've got the Bible. And the story says, and we looked at here today, that those who have listened to Moses and the prophets and have come to believe by faith that Jesus is the Savior of the world, they will enter into heaven. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, I would command that you would be today. I would urge you not to put it off, but to come to Jesus Christ today. Right now. Don't leave this church without coming to know Christ as your Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a parable. It would have been an easy one to just pass by and not even talk about today, but with something else. But this one's kind of pretty. It can be depressing. It can be very unnerving. It can be difficult in so many different ways. But Lord, we need to hear your whole counsel in the Bible, not just the parts we like. Because you're a God of heaven, you're also the God who judges and will be the one that, actually people send themselves to hell because they don't want to have anything to do with you. It's never your desire, but you are a just God. And you cannot let one sin into heaven because it will stop in heaven. So therefore, that's the dilemma as a sinner. We need to become righteous, and that only happens through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's been applied to us as it was applied to the doorway back in the Passover of the last plague in Egypt. The blood of Jesus needs to be applied in our lives. That when you look at us, you see that Jesus paid it all. Our debt has been paid through Christ. And so, Lord, today is that day of, it's really a time of, what am I going to do? We ask ourselves, okay, where am I at with you, Lord? I mean, am I like the rich man? Am I like Lazarus? I mean, I think I'm in the middle. I'm not either one of these guys. But we still are going to die. And your word says that either when we're absent from the body, we're either with the Lord, or we're going to be in the abode of the dead. It's going to be quick. It's going to be fast. Even when we have a funeral, it's already been decided. A funeral is not going to change anything. It's decided at the moment of death. If we're with the Lord, we're not. We know that you want us to be with you. And Lord, I want everyone here to be going home to heaven to be with you too. But to be realistic, it's probably not the case. But you know the hearts of all of us. And Lord, may you do the nudging, may you do the convicting, where it needs to be done in the lives of those who are here today. Even those who are listening in by Zoom, if they haven't already turned it off, start doing something else because they don't like to hear what's being said.
Lord, you know who they are. And so today, Lord, it's a simple prayer where we just say, Lord Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. I know that I have sinned against you and against many other people. And today, for the first time, I see that I need to be forgiven. And that Jesus is the one who went to the cross for me. For the first time, I see that Jesus went there and took my place on the cross. I should have suffered for my sin. Jesus didn't do no sin. He was sinless. He was perfect. So he took my place because he loves me. And he says that if I believe in him and ask him into my life, that he will forgive, he will cleanse, and gives me eternal life. And he'll help me from day to day. That's why I need Jesus. Lord, we know that the rich man probably went to a synagogue. He probably read prayers and heard prayers, but he never ever prayed himself. A heartfelt prayer was always written by somebody else or done by someone else. But the things he asks for and prays for in hell were all impossibilities to ever be answered the way that he wanted them. It's too late. So may today be that day that Jesus takes his rightful place in every heart, because your word says that whosoever believes will be saved. God, you will save. And only you. In your name we pray. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Oh my, we went overtime. Now what are we going to do? Bob, you just play the last song. Okay. You play it, we'll just forego everything else because that was a babbling brook.